Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
Absolutely. Welcome to another episode of Blind Level Tech. I am, of course, your host, Evan Starnes, and I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Hey, so good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood, Evan. How you doing, man?
Oh, man. Well, as we're recording this, my brain is just kind of kicking in gear. I always say I'm like one of those old cars that, like, you have to cold start it five times before it finally turns over and gets running.
See, I feel like in the morning, I'm like an electric car. I just boot up and start going.
You're like a Tesla, just like you're from zero to like 100.
But the thing is, I run out of energy by the end of the day. So
yeah, you don't have regenerative braking.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a pretty decent week. I got my place back. I had a huge water leak issue and had to get that fixed. They had to give me a new bathroom sink and vanity and all that fun stuff. So,
well, no, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was. The good thing is that I do have good apartment maintenance. But yeah, how's your week been treating you?
Well, when this recording comes out, I'll be literally just leaving Denver. And going into Raleigh, North Carolina, and starting my massive trip around the country. So going to Raleigh, then coming back to Denver, then going to Cincinnati, then coming back, going to San Diego, coming back, then going to Louisiana. So I'll be on the road for pretty much the next 3 weeks to 4 weeks. So
that Southwest thing, that's going to pay for itself if it hasn't already.
Oh, see, the thing is that, and I got my tech pick of the week is going to be something unique, and how I'm doing this for all under $300.
Yeah, what is your tech pick of the week?
So Frontier has this idea where they have a pass called Go Wild. The key thing is you got to be really flexible in your travel and be willing to sleep in airports. I'm happy to sleep in a chair and do that, so I'm okay with that. But you can get literally, like, the trip going that I took to go on the hike on Saturday, which I hip-tipped my way up the mountain, by the way. I've survived. It was rough. But but that whole trip cost me $30. And so this pass is called the Go Wild Pass. It's on Frontier. I bought the yearly pass, which is if you buy it not on Black Friday, is when I bought it. And when you buy it, it normally $1,000, I think, a year. Oh, but it gets you a really good deal on the flights. But you have to be flexible in your travel. So in my case, I'm fairly flexible in my travel. So yeah, so that's Frontier Go Wild. You can get some really good deals. And the beauty of being visually impaired, you get to board first. And
that's true.
And so they normally put you up to the front of the plane, and you can pretty much say, well, I want the aisle seat, and they'll make it happen.
Yep, or if you want a window seat so you're not accidentally elbowing the person to your left, you can do that too.
Yep. So
right on. So, yeah, I feel like if you travel a lot too, that's a great pick.
Yeah. So what's your pick?
Yeah, my tech pick of the week is actually sitting in my desk drawer, and we have done episodes before on audio equipment, and we should really do an episode now on talking recorders, but it is my Olympus DM720, and it is actually the recorder I used when I was doing Evan on the Go interviews on the AfterSight hike, Audio Trekkers hike, and the thing I love about this recorder is that it's tiny probably, oh, I don't know. It's like the size of like a Snickers bar, like not a fun-sized one. It's got a USB that pops out of the bottom of it with a slide switch. So you just plug it into your computer. It's got a voice menu. So the whole thing, mostly the entire thing talks to you. It's not like text-to-speech, but, and it's got three mics on it and they're all configurable. You can have it set to like a Zoom mic. So it'll like, if you want it to, it's like a, I see it like a camera, you know, if you wanted to focus on somebody, you can do that. But yeah, great little pocket old field recorder, super convenient and, not super expensive either. So yeah, my piece is the Olympus DM720, but that does not even relate to what we are talking about today.
Well, kind of. You could use it in the classroom, right?
Actually, yes, it is considered an accommodation. So, yes, with the back to school season kind of pretty much upon us now. It's August as we're putting this episode out. You know, and school's about to get going. We're going to talk about technology and schooling and what it's like, whether you're in, you know, K through 12 or in college, you know, what things to expect as a student, what it's like getting accommodations, and even like depending on where you go schooling wise, the platforms you're going to run into.
Yep.
So,
yep. I tell you, it's like a hair pulling out, right?
It can be. Yeah. It was for me once or twice when I started college.
So why don't we kind of go through the different grade levels? So kind of tell us, what are some things from K through 12 like that we need to keep an eye out? Because for me, I lost my vision later in life. So you're more in the expertise in this area. So kind of tell us from K through 12, what was life like for you, vision impaired, getting your accommodation and the technology that you use during your K through 12 years?
Well, I'm going to just say this as objectively as possible, but when you're in grade school and the school district that you're in is responsible for getting your accommodations, it's a little easier because, you know, you're not as on the hook. And I am sure that's different if you go to something like a charter or a private school. I just did public schooling, so that's all I can speak on here. But you really got to be, first of all, you need to be in a good district because where I was living, oh man, I was living next to a district where they didn't even have what was called a TVI. And for those unfamiliar with the term, it's teacher. It's literally just teacher of the visually impaired.
Yep.
So somebody that helps you do your classwork or transcribes your Braille work into print or does what's called interlining or, you know, does like tech teach or tech lessons, you know, and basically is kind of your mentor and guide throughout your schooling effectively. But the district I went to didn't even have any of that. So they basically had to transfer me districts to get the resources I needed. But, you know, if you're a kid in grade school or if you're a parent of a kid that is blind that or low vision that is in grade school, you're going to have to you might have to do a lot of advocating because, you know, the thing with these districts is that, you know, they only have so many TVIs, so many different paras, and also so much assistive technology because when it comes to getting assistive technology as a grade school student, pretty much you're going to – all of that technology is going to be loaned to you from the district. So when we're talking things like note takers and Braille writers and even laptops with screen reading software, like all of the stuff that I got, I borrowed it from the district and had to give it back, which, you know, it's got its ups and its downs, but it is nice that some districts will offer you that. And it really also just depends on how big of a budget the district literally has.
I think that's a big deal right there. I'm waiting for you to bring that into the conversation.
Because that's kind of the biggest factor here.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, just a Braille display is $4,000 to get your computer to work correctly. And it's going to hit at least $3,000. So that's where, right, just by having a visually impaired person in the school system is already a very expensive task on the system itself.
And, it really is. And, you know, if you want all the good stuff.
Yep. And so that's why it's so important that you as an individual that's visually impaired, if you're a parent listening, that you need to advocate for the highest quality technology that will be efficient for your child.
Absolutely.
Because I know for me, like, I have a foster kid. I'm going to tell you, I feel like I'm trying to advocate for this kid as much as I can possibly can. And,
yeah.
But the system keeps butting up against us and kind of saying, no, we're not going to pay for that. We're not going to pay for that.
We don't want to give him these accommodations. Yeah. That's the thing. And it's not the case for everybody. But for some folks, it might just be harder to get some of those accommodations. In fact, it does become I'm not going to say a little more challenging. It does become a little different when you move from high school to college getting some of these accommodations. You've been through college little bit, Kelvin, I assume. So can you tell us a little bit about what your experiences were?
So I think one of the biggest thing is if you do not practice your advocacy before you get out of high school, you will be left in the dust when you get to college. Because if we think about, I'm just going to put a blanket statement out there. That the population number of 30% of the visually impaired people are employed. That's
common. And that's like 75% are unemployed. That's like three quarters of it.
Well,
so
part
you got to fight.
Yeah. So part of that reason is those visually impaired coming into the college system weren't necessarily prepared to go into that system. I saw that multiple times when I was going to college.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, to get ready for a class, before you even go to class, you need to make sure your books are ready, you need to make sure your technology is ready, and you need to make sure all your classes are paid for and they're accessible to you before the class even starts. Well, half of the time, the school, the professor, see, this is where that tenured professor thing drives me crazy.
It's on the professor. Oh, yeah.
Don't even put up their book list. And then, of course, like, I'll never forget this one professor. He put up a book list the day of the first class. And I'm like, and I went up to them. I almost went up to them. I almost smacked them in the face. I said,
how are you going to?
I mean, do you realize you're messing with my independence? And it is your responsibility to make your class accessible. And, I lost a lid on that guy. But
good.
He worked with me. So let me tell you how he works with me. I mean, I didn't even want to take biology. So this is how I got out of it. I don't recommend doing this, but I did it. I said, you either let me pass your class and I do a research on my vision loss and do a big paper for you and you give me an A, or I'll take you to the dean and we'll go down that path. He's like, I'll take the easy way out. So I wrote up a paper about Usher syndrome type 2, told him about the biology behind it, the research and the testing. So I did learn from it. And
yeah, it was technically biology.
Yeah. And so I got an A. Yeah.
Sorry, Kelvin.
So that in some ways, that is a form of advocacy. It's not something that's going to work all the time. And
no.
And the other part to this, what is your technology that's going to make you successful in the classroom? And this is something that if you come out of high school, you kind of know what was successful for you. And I would recommend, especially your freshman year, to just get identical technology through your vocational rehab program and just get identical technology because you know how to work it. And then you can figure out your freshman year and fail, do whatever you got to figure out. And then hopefully by the spring semester, you kind of figured out how it works And then by your sophomore year, you can start hitting the ground running.
Absolutely.
It's not easy. It isn't easy.
No.
So what is your experience, Evan?
Well, I'm really, first of all, really glad you had brought up the point about having to sometimes flub a class. This is what I call it, in order to pass it, because like there are certain classes that are requisites in order to obtain a certain degree that might not necessarily even relate to that degree, but you have to take them. And a lot of that content is, It would be adaptable, but especially, if you've got a teacher that's just handing out the book list literally the day of and expecting, you're not going to be able to get those things adapted. And especially in a class like in your case, biology, you'll just have to do an alternative. It might suck, but at least you passed the class and you won't have to take it again.
Yep.
But my experience was pretty similar. What I had found from the transition from high school to college, and in between that, I went to a training program. But is that it is high school, at least for me, I was fortunate and blessed to have really good TBI that really kind of helped. I don't like using the term handhold, but they kind of held my hand through the entire until I graduated, basically, and even a little afterwards. And that's I'll admit, is a very huge blessing, and I'm very grateful for it. But the transition to college, you have to become very familiar with
Disability Services Program.
Yep, Disability Support Services.
They have it all different names. See,
they really do.
Oh, man. Sorry, I we can't go there. We'll get into a whole can of worms. So let's just stay focused.
But know what your – that's another good tip, though, is know what your Department for Disability Support Services is called, their contact info, and, how they work, because – you'll have, when it comes to that department, you'll have people that work with deaf and hard of hearing, people that work with low vision, people that work with folks with cognitive.
And one thing that I do want to emphasize, look at schools. So if you're going to college or you're prepping for college or you're doing anything like, look at schools that have a accommodation for the visually impaired.
Not
every school does. They have to, by law, accommodate you. But it's a lot easier to get. If you need Braille paper, you need to get Braille printed out, or you want other things like that. And let's be really clear. Your school does not provide your accommodations electronically wise. They do not provide all of the Braille displays, everything that you might need. That goes through the vocational rehab program. What do they call it in Colorado?
In Colorado, it's DVR. Yeah. But, yep, good point, because the Disability Support Services can maybe loan you like things like digital recorders, kind of like what we talked about in the beginning, or maybe they do some of them, at least the – in my experience, the community college I went to, they had a couple of Perkins Braille writers if you needed those clunker bad boys. And some do have embossers too.
Did you take one of those to class and click, click your way in the class?
Oh, you couldn't pay me to do that. I already don't like standing out as it is.
I couldn't resist.
Absolutely, though. But so if you want to get things like JAWS or a Braille Sense or a Braille display or a magnifier or any of that, you need to have. I mean, if you're going into college, you should already have a case open with your vocational rehabilitation if you're going to college in the first place, because. Depending on where you go, they might even be able to pay for your college.
Yep.
And that's what I was blessed with when I went through DVR and when I went to the community college I went to, is that they paid for it. I didn't have to pay for any student loans or any of that. The only thing I had to pay for was textbooks. Yep. And that's actually a whole nother subject, is textbooks. What was Kelvin, what was your experience like in general with textbooks?
So because what's funny is I actually took a job in college to make classrooms accessible. And, and so that was one of the things that I worked with. So if you think about it, so I'll never forget a lot of my communication classes that I took. The professor would tape images, scan their documents, and then put them on Blackboard and be like, here it is.
PDF.
And so I'm like, oh, brother, that's just going to be great. But the regards to books, it is extremely important that you get that book list at least. So let's just say the school year starts in February.
Yeah.
Or not February. Sorry, the school year starts in August.
August. Well, yeah. In this case, it starts in August. Yeah. You know, after winter break, then it usually starts in February for college students.
Yeah, so you got to think about this. So you need to already have your book list before summer starts. Because if you get your book list before graduation in May for the classes you're going to take, that's going to be ideal. Because here's the thing is, you can go directly to because those professors are still on campus. So you can go directly to the professor saying, hey, I'm going to be in your class next year. I need X and Y. What's your book list? So then that way you can go get it pre-made because this isn't easy. And so you take it to your department, their disability services, whatever, and they will then figure out how to make it accessible. Yeah. And so there are some options on what you're going to want. From accessibility, for me, I wanted everything just in a form in a USB drive, and it was an Audible format. And they were broken up by chapters and sections. So if I needed only to read one section, I could read a section and I just listened to it that way. To me, that worked. To you, you got to figure out what you do. Like Evan, you probably want more things in Audible or Braille. What works best for you?
What worked best for me personally was actually having things in like an HTML format where I can navigate by headings, by pages online using a screen reader and it's all text. But my experience is really, and I really don't recommend anybody do this. I 100% took it really and kind of flew by the seat of my pants. Let's just say that. Because some textbooks, depending on the manufacturer and the provider of the textbooks, they have an online option now. Mm-hmm. And one example that really comes to mind actually was I was taking a music appreciation class when I was a freshman in college, and you know that book was. It had to be online because it had audio examples of pieces of music in it. Mm-hmm. And so fortunately, a lot of online textbooks now are becoming accessible. And it wasn't really as much the case a few years ago. But I think with COVID and everybody going online, all that stuff, it really kind of put a lot more emphasis on having things available in digital form. So,
yeah. One thing I do want to emphasize here is that when you get an accessible format of the book for class, you need to have a legal version of that copy.
Yes. And your possession. Things.
Yeah. So, to stay in compliance with copyright law and all that stuff, you need to make sure that you have a legal, like you have a hard copy book, you have, and normally that's what you need to have, just a hard copy book. And then personally, I just sold returned my books back by the end of the school year, just left them alone, especially if they didn't have to cut off the spine. I mean, I went to school I graduated in 2014. So they were still having to cut spines off the books and scan them and make them accessible.
I remember those.
And so, but I feel like definitely in the COVID years, it's really changed that perspective. But you still have to hold something legally to own to be able to use that accessible version. So you got to have proof. So if somebody came did a search.
Somebody tried to be like, "Hey, is this a legit book?" You know, yeah. They found out you're not. You could probably you might fail the class, but
well, not even that. You could face some legal issues. So.
You could some fines, yeah. Some other things. But how about in person classes or even some online classes? What did you do when it came to finding classes or figuring out how online classes worked?
Yeah. So when I went to school, I went with school with a guide dog. So I would always get – so because I'm – and this is one of the biggest things. Become really good friends with people at your disability services, because the more friendly you are with them, the more accommodation they're going to provide for you at a more faster rate. Do some advocacy work for them, because they're always trying to make change on campus. Personally, if you take the time, it will teach you a lot of stuff. But that's another conversation of the day. But for me, what I used to do was I would get on campus, and then I trained my guide dog to be able to navigate the whole campus. And so I had an O&M instructor come, and we learned different routes. And then
– oh, right on.
And then normally every semester we would need to learn where the new classrooms are. So I would just have somebody – one of my friends would visit, that could see, and we would just walk around campus. And I would just stand – I'd say, hey, just walk with me and help me find the class. And then I would train the dog to that. And so – it was tough to retrain the dog every semester, but I was able to do that and make it work. And because I did make some accessibility on my campus to be able to make it more easier to navigate, because we had a lot of truncated domes, navigation options, and so forth. So that's extremely helpful for me. And,
absolutely.
And so so that's how I did it. A lot of people sometimes just do it on their own. Others do it through an orientation and ability instructor every year, every semester. It really depends. Like, how did you do it, Evan?
Well, yeah, because some people, like myself, just fly by the seat of their pants.
I'm surprised your pants didn't fall off.
Right? They're definitely ripped. But I feel like my experiences both in grade school and in college were quite similar. In grade school, you're most likely going to be working with an O&M instructor, and they'll probably about a week or two prior to your classes. At least this is what mine did, and you'll go to the school, you'll get a list of your classes and their room numbers, and then just walk around and find them and repeat. Like, basically, you'll go through your schedule really quickly, class by class by class, and you won't just do that one day a week. You know, you might have to do that a couple of days a week just to really get you into that routine. But for college, since I was taking a mix of online and in-person classes, what was important for in-person, though, was I met with somebody from Disability Support Services, and they pretty much did the exact same thing the O&M instructor did. So I told them the classes I had, the room numbers, and then they'd show me, where they were, and I would look for, and they would also point out landmarks and clues that were on the way to those classes. Because I unfortunately did not have a guide dog, and so if you're doing this with a cane, especially if you're in a large campus. And this is really just a good general O&M skill, but look for landmarks and clues. Like, does this hallway sound a certain way? Is there a specific type of turn I need to take before the next, block of classes, or anything kind of like that?
Or the next pole to pole dance with, so that we can get
the exactly. How many knots am I going to add to my forehead? Exactly. And then for online, you also want to know, because not all teachers just want to use Zoom. Some want to use WebEx or Teams or some other platform that you've never even heard of. And you really want to know, you ought to know, and you want to be familiar with that particular platform and how to use and navigate it before mm-hmm. the class. So that way you're not, you know, trying to scramble and pay attention to your screen reader and the website or whatever you're on while also listening to the teacher's introduction lecture.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I will say about those online platforms is that there's a level that the system can do, and there's a level that the school should, the professor has to do. And when you run into not necessarily the system not working, it's the professor, that's where you're going to have to advocate for yourself mm-hmm. to get that information. They legally are supposed to make that accessible.
But they don't.
They don't.
Not always.
And the other thing is, if you get a tenured professor, and this is why I can't stand the whole tenured, because they don't have any – there is no
– they don't always, especially like some of the more seasoned ones.
Yeah. Well, and
just
and
my experience.
There is no consequences for their actions in regards to providing
– making stuff accessible.
Yeah, so – and if you want to make consequences for their action, you're going to have to fight hard. And it's not going to be easy. And I ran into a couple of situations. It was easier to take the easier way out than the fight. So
do all the fighting.
And so that's the challenge that you're going to have to face when you go into school, because there's just so many, and every semester is different. Every semester is going to have its own can of worms.
Yep, it really is. Every semester is different. Every professor is different. One point though that I didn't really make in regards to college too, that is also the platform that the college uses for both like class management mm-hmm. and and assignment handling, because there are quite a few different platforms out there. You might hear the name Desire to Learn or Canvas,
Blackboard.
Blackboard. And most of these are accessible. Yeah, Google Classroom. Mm-hmm. That's another one. Mm-hmm. I used that more in high school. But yeah, what platforms did you use in your college?
So, we used Blackboard, and I tell you, it was the worst. Getting JAWS to work on that was like, why bother? And so a lot of times what you would do is you would go to – a lot of times at your college, there's a – like a technology, accessibility, technology, like, place. It's normally in your library. And they have
– It's like a tech lab.
Yeah, like a tech lab. And a lot of times you can go in there and they can help you, like, upload things and so forth if you're just trying to get through the class. But if you're – like, especially if you take a test, that is something we haven't talked about. Is
actually tests.
The tests.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it.
Because when these systems are not accessible, then, again, you got to decide how much you're willing to fight and how much you're going to battle.
And what accommodations you're willing to take and what you want to work with.
Yeah. So for me, I just took all of my tests oral. And so – and I just had somebody read them all to me. And so if it was on Blackboard or on whatever the other ones are, and basically you would take that, you would log in, and then they would go to the test and then read the test to you and mark your answers. And so that's normally how I would do it, and it worked out well for me that way. But it depends on how much independence you want to be able to do these things. And yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and also keep in mind that some of these colleges, most of them, I know the one I went to, will have a testing center, and some professors, depending on the professor, of course, will want you to take your exams in a testing center. And that testing center, you might not necessarily – you might have to fight to be able to use your computer and be able to get those accommodations, because I did personally. I did a lot of my tests on Desire to Learn, And they're pretty accessible, and I was able to, you know, it was like filling out a Google form. You know, you mm-hmm. were able to mark the answers, and you could hit submit and immediately see the score you got, and it all worked. But sometimes, yeah, like you were saying, like you might just have to have somebody sit down with you and read the questions, and then you mm-hmm. give them the answers, and that is totally a very valid accommodation, and. It might just honestly, even if you have the option to take things online, you know, if you really want to just get the class out of the way, that might actually just be the easiest option.
Yeah. And you got to weigh them out. Like what?
Exactly.
How much energy are you willing to put in for your freedom, your independence, and your education?
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day,
You're
just trying to pass a class.
Yep.
So
trying to get a degree.
Yep.
Or trying to graduate high school, middle school, elementary school, any of that. You just, you know, got to figure out what works best for you. But some colleges do have other places to go that don't involve, you know, that aren't for, you know, education or studying. And they actually, you know, at least the college I went to had a little like cafe that you can get food from. And it actually is a good place to get the
sandwich of the week.
To be honest, I do not have a good sandwich of the week this week. And usually I'm the one that goes first, but do you have one while I quickly pull one out of my brain?
Yeah. So so there were a couple of shows ago, we talked about 7-Eleven. Okay. Yum. So I saw an article the other day that 7-Eleven is starting to become more like Japanese 7-Eleven.
Yep.
And I tell you, it is not bad. And so,
it's really good.
Have you ever? And this is not a sandwich, but I think you can
close
eat like
enough.
A sandwich if you fold it over. Is a breakfast pizza?
I've had a breakfast pizza, and that's like a New York style pizza. So you flip it over, and you got yourself a sandwich. You know?
Yeah, you could do it that way. Well, that's a calzone, but in this case, it is a. It got egg, so it has, so the pizza that I got from 7-Eleven was like a 4-piece pizza, and it had gravy on it, and the sauce, then it has sausage, bacon, and eggs, and then cheese on top.
It's like biscuits and gravy almost.
Oh, it is so good. And then you add a little syrup to it. Wow. It's like... Let's have a party.
Yum.
And so, yeah. So that is my sandwich or slash pizza of the week.
Pizza of the week. That's what yours is.
Yep. So what about you, man?
Well, actually, I appreciate your inspiration for my sandwich, and I'm going to stretch this out. But I actually am going to go with an open-faced sandwich, just in the spirit of open-faced things. I years ago remember my grandma and my mom used to make these really good like open-faced sandwiches that had turkey and gravy, and I don't know if they had potatoes, but it was mostly turkey, cheese, and gravy. But the best part was when if you let it sit for like 4 or 5 minutes, that gravy would soak into the bread.
Oh.
And it was just like really good. I don't know. I really don't have the words to describe what it was like. Definitely pretty soggy, though. So if you don't like soggy things, you wouldn't like this thing. But yeah, my sandwich of the week is actually an open-faced turkey and gravy sandwich.
All right. That leads me up for my next one. So I already got mine lined up for next week's.
I'm on the edge of my not squeaky chair. I'm in the office, so I don't have to deal with that nemesis. Of course. Well, we've definitely covered quite a lot in this episode. And I'd really the thing I'd like to emphasize, too, is really how good we've gotten, like the point that we've gotten to as just technologically as a society that has allowed us to, you know, have the independence in the schooling system that we have now. Because, you know, if we're talking, you know, especially pre-ADA, you know, in the 80s, 90s, the world, the accessibility world and, you know, getting accommodations, it was vastly different.
So. Yep. Yep. I mean, I think about what I used in college and what we use today. Maybe it's still
even crickets. Changed like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, crazy.
Vastly changing.
I'm not old. Man, I'm becoming an old fart, man.
You're getting old, man.
And we know, well, when this comes out, our producer, well, already had his birthday. And
Lordy, you're turning 40, as Penn says.
Yeah. So happy birthday, Jonathan.
Yes, happy birthday. Your food was delicious, and I really enjoyed meeting the pupper dog. But that being said, I'm excited to see where things go, you know, how things progress, you know, in the coming years. I'm really hoping we get to a point where, you know, you just take a class and you don't have to do any of this prep work ahead of time. You can just take the class and it's all online and digital and it all works. With the screen reader. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yep. So I just lost my thought.
Well, what are you hoping to see? What are you hoping to see as far as just, you know, new innovations in this realm before we wrap this episode up?
Well, I think one of the things that I would love to see in this where truly, like, you go into a classroom, like, you register for a class. The book is already there.
Yeah,
it's already in accessible format for your needs, and everything that you need to do to class is all there and accessible.
Yeah,
I feel like that just sounds too simple, but it isn't. But it's a lot more difficult than it sounds, and I think that way, really, all you need is your accessible equipment.
Like just your a screen computer, reader, whatever works for you.
And then you go into that classroom, whether it's visually or with low vision, blind, braille, whatever. You got it all. You're able to just do the class. You don't need a ton of accommodation regards to human beings involved.
Exactly.
That would be awesome. What about you, man?
Well, yeah, I'm pretty much, like I said, I'm hoping for pretty much the same thing. I mean, I appreciate disability support, but it would be nice to be able to just walk into a class and, you know, if the teacher's scrambling and has the book list the day of, you know, it won't mess me up. But yeah, I'm hoping we'll just have to see, you know, where things progress and where our education system even goes, you know, in the next, you know, 5-10 years. But that being said. We definitely should wrap this episode up. It's been a pretty lengthy one here for sure. But Kelvin, of course, is there anything you would like to wrap up with before we end this episode?
I think something I heard the other day was when you're doing good and something goes wrong, just keep doing that good because you'll eventually be blessed for doing that good. And that's going to help you live beyond your challenges.
Good pays off. And I love that. I love how you lump that together. And honestly, you know, if you're thinking about going to college, if you are thinking about doing a trade school, or if you are a grade school student and you're nervous about taking classes next semester, you know, we hope that really the info that we provided was of value to you and that it helps you feel, you know, more confident and more ready to rock this semester. With that being said, I'd like to thank you guys for joining us for another episode of Blind Level Tech. If you've got any feedback or questions or whatever about the show, you can always feel free to email feedback@aftersight.org or leave us a voicemail at 720-712-8856. Anyway, thank you again for joining us. I'm your host, Devin Starnes. This is Kelvin Crosby.
Go live beyond your challenges and plug in your device.